Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. It's St. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40, and it can be found on page 1038 of the Church Bible. A dead girl and a sick woman. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our deliverer. Amen. Just feel your way into this story. Here's a Jewish man who shared the very Jewish blood of Jesus. So when he comes to Jesus, he's coming to a fellow Jew. Here's a rabbi, probably built the synagogue, led the worship, undertook the direction of all its services, all its life. A man in authority. And he has an only daughter, 12. She's dying. 12 was the age in which, in that culture, you were looked upon as being able to bear a child. 12 years old, motherhood beginning, dying. And he's walking down the street and he's finding his way to Jesus. And he's got his slaves with him. And he's a man who's desperate. In fact, one of the commentaries I read, it says it wasn't so much faith that took him to Jesus, it was just despair. Because actually St. Matthew says she's already died. Sometimes we think, oh dear, I've not got the faith to cry out to God. But that's not the point. You cry out in despair. And the fact you cry out is itself a cry of faith. Cry of desperation. And Jesus has no hesitation. Isn't it lovely? No hesitation. It just says, so he went. He's not asking for faith. He's not asking for any goodness, anything at all. So he went. And I think we can feel for that father and the mother staying at home. I mean, many of us in our nation have felt so much for 15-year-old Natasha dying through food poisoning. You know, and now we just heard on the news this morning another person's died through some kind of food poisoning, through the labelling not being there. And the anger, I guess, some of us have felt. The grief, and her family more than anybody. And here's the crowd pressing. And in St. Mark, because you only need to read this in conjunction with St. Mark chapter 5. St. Mark brings some very different understandings of the story and details. It says the crowd pressed in on him. I don't know if you're like me. I find crowds very difficult. I like to sit at the end. If I'm in church, I love to sit at the end of a row and I've got a way out. I didn't have a way out last night when I went down to the Ignite, and it gets a bit embarrassing if you want to get out and you can't. An aeroplane, I'd always try to get, if I can, an aisle seat, a cinema, if I can. But you're probably not like that, but that's me. But anyway, here is our Lord, and he must have sometimes wanted to be in the aisle seat, you know, and he often did, didn't he? He went off in all kinds of places on his own. And anyway, the crowd pressed in on him. What a pressure on Jesus. What a pressure. Pressing in on him. You just feel that pressure. And then the unexpected, a small figure of this woman. A woman with a disease, was it 12 years, something like that. Hemorrhaging of the blood. And she comes up. I mean, what? This is... It is despair, but it's faith as well. If I but touch his garment. And then the whole crowd stops. It's a long pause. Actually, in the passage that Sandy read so beautifully to us, 6 verses are given over to this woman, and we've only had 2 concerning the Jairus' daughter. So it's quite a long pause, and in St. Mark chapter 5, if you have time to read it, it's 10 long verses on this story, and it's just meant to be an interruption, but it's more, isn't it? It's quite a long time in which the crowd stops, the Lord stops, he knows power's gone from him, who touched me? I wonder how Jairus felt. There's his daughter, whether she was dead or whether she's just dying. But how does he feel? Actually, I mean, how would you feel? I think I feel quite angry. Lord, you're coming to me. And here's something else. Very frustrating, very angry. The father, Jairus himself, the time being taken up. And how did Jesus feel? And I love it here. Jesus doesn't seem to mind. He's so unhurried, isn't he? He can give time. My times are in your hands, says the psalmist. Jesus so often say, my time is not yet. He was not driven by time like many of us are. Time was his servant and not his master. And so he's so unhurried. He turns round, who touched me? And she comes forth and he talks with her. And then the time comes when the crowd moves on, and then these messengers arrive, and it's too late. She's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. And Jesus has these amazing words, and I've written them up here, actually. He says, in one sentence, two things. He says, do not fear, only believe, only have faith. Do not fear, only have faith. And I think there's a sense in which actually the two actually go together. Because fear grips us all, doesn't it? It's a huge... Sometimes fear overwhelms, or someone has said logic overwhelms hope. Fear overwhelms any even tiny bits of faith we may have. And we never say this, but we've given up about certain things we might have prayed for. But we just have a deep fear that things are not going to go right. And the Lord says, do not fear, only have faith. And just put this word faith on here, because that's the word we need to take on with us this morning. Do not fear, only have faith. And when I was sharing this with Peter as we prepared the service, he actually said, fear is really unbelief. It's unbelief, it's negativity. You see, we come to church this morning, and how many of us really feel, Lord, you can do something for me this morning, do something for your world through us being here, do something in the great town of Malvern, just because some of us here and other churches around Malvern are gathering together. And yet there's something that says, no, it can't be, it can't be. And I love the words we'll have in a few moments in communion service. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, it is meet and right so to do. So what does Jesus do with this negativity? He does four things. First of all, he gets rid of all those who come to mourn and to weep. He just casts them out, a bit like casting out the people in the money changers in the temple. He just gets rid of them. Negativity, he gets rid of it. It won't help. Fear will not help in this situation. And he takes the mother and father. I wonder why he takes them. And I wonder whether it's because they, as the father, mother, this girl, at least have a desire for her, even if their hope has almost gone, if not totally gone. So he's taking even the desire for life. Why Peter, James and John? Because these were three whom he took with him up Mount of Transfiguration, took them with him into Gethsemane. These were the three closest who had intimacy with him, faith in him, trust in him, however much, like us all, they were to fail him. And what does Jesus say? She is sleeping. Death is not the last word. And those of us sometimes who find death can be an overwhelming thing for some. And Lord saying, death ultimately is sleep. Sleep. Awaking. Come, O Lord, at our last awakening, and bring us to the gate and house of heaven, says the great poet Don. Our last awakening, because death is sleep. And then he uses these words, daughter. And I've taken some words. You're going to learn a bit of Arabic, because in St. Mark's Gospel, Mark often uses little phrases of Arabic. Aramaic, because Aramaic was the language of Jesus. And he says to the little girl, Talitha Kum. You read Mark 5. Little girl, arise. And The words continued right through the early church, and they just held on. Talitha cum, little girl arise, Talitha cum. And they're wonderful words for us this morning, because I think so often there is that little child within us that has just gone dead and needs to be revived. Someone from our church said recently, I feel free now to be me. Isn't that beautiful? Free to be me. And that's somebody, you know, probably towards middle age, and just something's been released. Little girl, arise. And we have someone with us this morning, Andy Barley and his lovely wife Elaine. And he's had an amazing experience of this rising in his life. And Andy, come up, Andy, and just share this with us, because it's a wonderful testimony of the Lord touching his life in different ways. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I've got 10 minutes. In 1970, at the age of 18 months old, I became very ill and was diagnosed type 1 diabetic, insulin dependent. My dad injected me, then I learned to inject myself. That was in 1970. My parents were followers of Jesus, took me to lots of healing meetings. Over the decades, I became crushed by disappointment because I came back from the healing meetings not healed, continuing to live with it. In 2002, I then developed lumps on the bottom of my feet. Normally you see them in the hands, Dupuytren's contracture, lumps there, and the fingers will curl over, pulling the tendons. I had them in my feet. Apparently the Vikings suffered from the same. It meant I had to stop everything I loved doing. Mountaineering, rock climbing, badminton, circuit training. Walking uphill was agony. Walking could hurt a lot. Then I went to New Wine several years later, and with my wife, and there was a call for healing. And I thought, okay. I went up and this huge American guy stood waiting in ministry team, and he said, what can I do for you? What can I pray for? And I said, I want a new pancreas and a new right foot. And he said, okay. And he waited. Now I know why he was waiting. Just waiting for the Holy Spirit. Then he started praying. And he prayed that I'd be healed of my disappointment. I've been crushed, literally crushed by disappointment for, I don't know, 20 years. He prayed that I'd be healed of my disappointment. And it broke me. I wept. My disappointment. I went and sat back down and said, gathered my thoughts, and I said to the Lord, okay, I can't do this anymore. This is the last time I come forward for prayer. Until the day you say, Andrew, today is the day. Then I will come forward. But until then, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do this. 10 years later, I broke that agreement when I went to Top Barn Farm, it was at Worcester somewhere, a gentleman visiting with a healing ministry. I sat at the back. Come on then, let's have the revelation word. Andrew, diabetic, black hair, come forward, today's the day. Nothing. He prayed for healing for people with problems with hips, legs, feet, you name it. I was sat at the back. Not receptive. Right at the end he said, is there anybody else here who has anything, problems with feet or legs? And I sort of said, well, yeah. Come forward. I went and stood in front of him. He said, what can I do? I said, I have lumps on my feet. Very, very painful to walk. It's ruined a lot of all my passion for outdoor activity. He said, okay. He knelt down, placed his hands on my feet, and said, in the name of Jesus, lumps, go. Now, they were the size of peas. There were 7 of them on both feet. My attitude at that point was not a man of faith. I was looking down at him, thinking, well, I went and sat down next to Helen and I said, I'm too afraid to look because I don't want to be disappointed. What I want is to say, this is my God, look what he did, who else can do this? But I'd never been able to say that. Helen prayed and commanded the fear in my mind to leave. I then went to the gentleman's toilet, locked myself in a cubicle, took my boots off, took my socks off, looked at my feet, bottom of my feet, and I thought, I swear there were lumps there. There was nothing, they were gone. So I have no pain in my feet now. But I'm still diabetic. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting, actually, for God to say, Andrew, today's the day. And you won't be able to stop me when I get to the front. But I'm saved. And God loves me. Healing is beautiful. But it neither proves nor disproves that God loves me. Because I know what he's done to prove that already. So.
Just hold it a moment. Lord, we bless you for this man. Bless you for what he shared. May faith rise in us even at this moment. There may be some among us here who are afflicted, either bodily or emotionally, or in the mind. Lord, to be turned like Andy from fear to faith, and that still you're there for him. And still your healing goes on for him and for us. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you. Actually asked Andy afterwards to join with Diana and I think it's Susan in the prayer ministry. And just anybody who wants to come for healing, to come, and I've got some oil. Do you know, a week ago today I was in Bristol helping out in a service, and at the end of the service a man, young man, came up to me, and his wife, she's English Chinese, he's Italian, she said, Mario's been told that his sight is almost is greatly impaired and he may lose it. Would you anoint him? And I had this oil with me. And I anointed him, obviously not in the eye, but just round each of the eyes, just in faith. Got a telephone call a couple of days ago from my daughter, who's a great friend of this couple. She said, Mario went to the optician. His sight is half restored from what it was. And he believes it was the anointing and prayer and oil. Praise God. Let faith take the place of fear. Although like Jairus himself, sometimes we just cry in despair. Lord, I've got no faith. Or I love the words of another man whose son was desperately ill. And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we come to communion this morning. Communion itself is a wonderful healing. You know, we have those words that my body may be made clean, cleansed, healed through his body. My soul washed through his most precious blood. I mean, what a healing that is, isn't it? To take the precious blood of Jesus, to take his broken body, by his wounds we're healed. And let your body be healed this morning as you come to receive the precious body and blood of Jesus and come for prayer after. For anything specific and for the anointing with the oil. Just have a few moments, Lord, of quiet as we bring our torn bodies, some of us aged bodies, some of us young bodies, but things not perhaps going right, or even fears we have that they might not go right. Lord, you just come even now and touch us afresh. Bless us, touch us. Ask and those in our hearts, because also in communion we bring up in our hearts someone else whom we just long for healing, and as we take the bread and wine into our bodies, that and we have this person in our heart, the healing goes in and through them as well. It's a wonderful thing. Healing for someone else through our receiving Holy Communion. I am the Lord who healeth thee. Talitha cum, Talitha cum. Can we just say those words together? Talitha cum, Talitha cum, Talitha cum. Thank you, little girl, little person, rise. Amen.